Right, the part we've all been waiting for, your questions. Thanks all for getting in touch. At Abbey Stand Pod is the details that you need to get in touch with us. So we're going to kick things off with a question from Josh. Do you see this as a season of consolidation and establishing before mounting a proper playoff push next season where Colin Calderwood can mould his perfect squad over the summer? We've kind of spoken about that already.
Sort of. I really hate to be the guy that answers a question with a question, but why was
this another would you rather?
Yeah. It actually isn't. It's slightly more serious. Oh. Which is, why wasn't that the plan this season?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, agreed.
That seems mental that you would just go, well, we're not even gonna, like, this season's just sort of football. It's just not.
That's what I mean about being a vicious circle. I don't understand the logic of being at this point in the season
the thing that I guess, and because I'm not of the opinion that that should be the idea and that shouldn't be the idea. That's a mental way to run a football club. That's a mental way to live your life. That, you know. Anyway, it's a completely different argument. But I guess the idea is that because Calderwood hasn't signed every single member of this squad, he can't be expected to do anything with it. Yeah. That is bonkers. That is so stupid. The job of a football manager is to take what he's got and do the best with it. Mm-hmm. There's only really one manager in the world that I can think of that has the God-given right to go out and sign an entire squad, and that's Pep Guardiola, who's allowed to spend 50, 60, 70 million pounds on a player. So he's got the perfect squad, and he's then expected to go out and win trophies and win the league, etc. with it. Calderwood, unfortunately, doesn't have that right. He doesn't have that respect in the game. So if he has to deal with, I don't know, a mediocre midfielder that was already at the club, rather than going out and signing a different mediocre League Two midfielder, which we can afford, I don't think that gives him a right to underachieve. Like, is he going to do any better next season? I don't think there's any evidence to say that'll happen.
How do you think Pep would get on with Arsenal?
I think he'd do really well.
Yeah.
Well, they asked that he was.
Can I use that 35, 50 mil to entice him over to see if he does?
Yeah, let's get him for a year. Let's get to League One with Pep.
As long as he brings Zinchenko with him, then yeah, I'm having it.
I guess people are saying, is this year about stabilising? Because last year there was a point where relegation was a very real prospect, and I guess the other reason people are saying that is because although some players left in the summer, there is still a group of people who are at the club who had joined on those longer sort of term deals. They finally end in the summer. There's also a lot of other names of people whose contracts are up in the summer. So maybe that's why that sort of question is kind of coming in. I think this season was about stability, but progressing a little bit. And I guess to an extent we've got that because of where we are in the table. But I completely agree with what Tom was saying about, coach the players that you've got. Got people in this squad who have played at higher levels. We've got people in this squad who have played better for us under previous regimes and previous managers. So there is, there's opportunity within the numbers that you've got, the players that you've got there. So I think even if we were looking at this season to just, progress a little bit from last year, we could still expect to, it's not unrealistic to expect that we should be able to do that with the players that we have. And it's also worth pointing out that, brought a fair number of people into the club in the summer. If you include people who signed extensions to their contracts or left and came back in the Maris situation, I think there was about 11 people that came in.
Yeah.
If you add it all up. So he has had movement in the squad. So
like that's what I don't understand. Like, this isn't like a group of absolute misfits. Like, all right, there's parts in the squad which aren't great, but this is League Two. This is a manager managing a League Two team. Like, it's not all going to be perfect. Like, I'm sure even Swindon have parts of their team which they'd like to improve. But like, do better. And I do think it's,
they lost their best right back and they're still doing all right, aren't they?
I do think it's an interesting question though, because I think it actually represents an opinion of quite a lot of our fans, which is that this is just okay. And I think it all sort of comes from the fact that when we were in the conference, everyone had like a really like united aim and a really united goal, which was that we want to be back in the Football League, and that was like the be all and end all. And beyond that, like, I think if you ask most fans what they want the club to be now, there isn't like a real consensus. Whereas I would say that the the ambition of the football club now should be to push towards the next level, because we've been back at League Two for 6 years. Some fans would say, no, this is fine, we're not going down, it's all right being, you know, finishing 17th in League Two or whatever. And some people want a new stadium, some people want this, some people want that. And that leads to the idea that just consolidating is okay. When, like, I can't hammer this point enough, which is that to finish in the playoffs in League Two, you need to finish 7th. So a third of the teams in this league either are promoted automatically or compete in the playoffs at the end of the season. A third of the league. So that means you have to be slightly above average. Is that really too much to ask? Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Like, people act as if I'm asking us to win the FA Cup. That
would be mad.
That would be mad.
We're not in that.
European tour.
Yeah. But anyway, it's not a nice mentality to have, and certainly not one that we think we should be having. Stuart kind of almost follows on from it, asking why can't we keep a clean sheet? I mean, we've kept 3 clean sheets since November. You know, we're a team in 13th place in League Two. I don't think we should be expecting to have kept more clean sheets than that. Why we can't? Well, we've had problems with injured defenders. We've also been rejigging the formation. We've rejigged the goalkeepers. We're a team that's not doing well, right?
Yeah, defensively, I think we're doing pretty badly. I think earlier in the season we were fairly tight at the back to an extent. So it's peculiar that it seems to have sort of fallen apart. But I think there are a few reasons why we're not keeping clean sheets. I think we're not doing basics very well. We're not definitely not doing the basics when it comes to defending set pieces very well. And I think the other thing that I would say, and I guess it kind of ties into a little bit what Tom was saying just then about the identity of the club, I think we're lacking an identity on the pitch as well. We're definitely lacking leadership on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately, you know, correlates to how we're sort of, you know, playing in defence. You know, look at the goals that we conceded against Mansfield. Like, a bit of wisdom, a bit of leadership, and that third goal would never have happened. I think another factor is obviously, you know, some of the squad selections and the lineup selections don't help. Having Harry Darling at right back is obviously an issue, but I think there are lots of answers as to why we're not keeping clean sheets.
I think recently it's set pieces, right? Like, that's, yeah.
Well, not even that recently, actually. Like,
probably not, actually, because
set pieces seem to have been a thing even pre-Calderwood.
Yeah,
like, there was a big thing under Joe Dunn. Yeah, like, we couldn't defend set pieces.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Now think about it, Jax. I think back to the Scunthorpe game.
Yeah,
we conceded 2. Yeah, so set pieces are one, and that's just doing the basics, isn't it?
Mm.
But it comes back to, like, who's coaching the team? Is it Calderwood? Is he leading the training sessions? Is he working on that? Or is it Bonner? You know, we had this issue under Joe Dunn. Mark Bonner was a coach for him. You know, maybe one of the fundamental things that we are lacking here is backroom staff that can actually influence the players. Maybe we need to look at that before sort of bringing people in the summer.
I reckon centre forward John Taylor is just the person to sort out that back line.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to reverse train them, and hopefully it'll work. Well, this all kind of feeds on from that. I mean, you know, we've got holes at the back. We're conceding goals willy-nilly. Clean sheets are hard to come by. So are goals, actually, at the moment. And, you know, going down to 3 strikers. So B, Tom and Will all asked about Andy Dallas. Do you think Andy Dallas should be starting more? And then Leo goes on to say, why do we only have 3 strikers again? Do the club ever learn? What happens if Sam Smith gets injured? Well, presumably Andrew Dallas will start if Sam Smith gets injured. But
I think,
yeah,
we all have a big cry if Sam Smith gets injured.
Yeah.
He's not been as effective recently, but I feel like we're not playing to his strengths. And, you know, I said it earlier in the show, it seems to be a thing with Calderwood. You either play your best players and work out a formation and a tactic that suits them, or you pick a formation and you pick players into it. Sam Smith and Jack Rowles are our best players, and we're not making the most of their abilities. I guess you could throw Carruthers into that, but not playing for various reasons. But yeah, I've seen quite a few instances the last few games where Smith is pointing where he wants the ball to be played, or is calling for the ball, and it's just not really getting the service, not really getting the passes or the attention from others around him. So yeah, if Smith gets injured, we are probably in the shit. Why is Andy Dallas not starting? Good question. Has he settled? How is he performing in training? Maybe that is the reason why he's not seeing much game time. He's a different striker to the options that we have. I think Harvey Nibs is maybe adapting a little bit to make himself selectable for the squad.
Nibs is scoring goals. Nibs gets a goal every now and again. He's not Mbappe yet, but he's. I was going to say he's getting there. that'd be really overstating it.
Yeah.
But with Dallas, I think he's never really been given a chance. But I think when he has played, you've questioned what he sort of brought. So I think at the moment, should he be starting more? Well, we're going to play with one, at most two strikers, and he's currently the third best out of three, so he's probably not going to be starting more.
No.
If Smith gets injured, I suspect we just sort of blame the phenomenon of hindsight and that we could never have foreseen this coming. I mean, it's funny, because the three questions that Leo's asked there, they're exactly the same questions that we asked at the board.
Yeah, all that time ago.
And
I wonder if Dallas would play more if Jabbo hadn't got injured. Because obviously that was how we set up the very first game of the season, Bradford away, wasn't it? It was Jabbo and Dallas.
That's right.
Would he play better with that type of player next to him? I personally think Smith would play really well with a Jabbo, like,
just
hard man next to him.
Just maybe provide a bit of balance. I feel like we've been quite negative, probably fairly. But with sort of going forward and the strikers, the sort of underlying data and all the metrics and XG and all this sort of stuff still suggests that we're probably underperforming quite a bit, that we should be doing better than we are on that front. And that, actually, if anything, is probably quite a big positive on Calderwood, that the creativity isn't really a problem. We're just not putting the ball in the net.
Yeah.
It might not look like that on the eye sometimes, but that's what's happening. So that's purely to provide balance. I still think overall we've been quite poor, but the data does suggest that we should be doing a bit better. Although probably not quite as good as we were earlier on in the season.
Just one last thing on Dallas. Throw him in earlier. He's getting like four or five minutes when we're already losing a game and stuff like that. Like, I don't, you know, if Mark Richards leaving means one thing, if that could be that Dallas and Nibs rotate and they get more game time, then it could be a real bonus for us, because I think they're both under contract for next year. No, Dallas is. Mm-hmm. So it'd be good to start, you know. If we are basically saying that the playoffs are out of the picture, let's maybe look at a bigger picture. And if that bigger picture is developing a few players so that we are in a better position going into next year, then we've got two young lads who play up front who could benefit from the remaining half of the season. But they'll only get that if they get game time. Nibs is getting it and Dallas isn't. So
that feeds on to the next question quite nicely, and Tom touched on it before. Rick asks, would you only play youth team players from here onwards? I mean, you'd struggle to get 11 out, but I get the idea. And Tom, you were saying, if you're not going to play them now, then when do you play them?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously don't only play youth players.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to play like Taft, for example. I mean, there's more, but, you know, I think specifically for sort of Knowles and Norva Williams now, I think there's a few who are maybe one or two years younger and probably a little bit further away from that. But the likes of Darling, Davies, Norva Williams and Knowles. Knowles isn't even at the club at the moment, is he?
No,
it's on loan.
But, you know, presumably he'll be back sort of sooner rather than later. If they're fit and they're available for selection, then they play, in my opinion. And it's that simple, because if we're truly going to just sort of write off the season and sort of say that, you know, this season's now a purely functional sort of activity, then play them. And also, I think there's probably an argument to be made that they should be playing on merit anyway, because left back Jones has been crap.
Oh, rubbish.
So get Norval Williams in for that. We've just been saying how we've missed some maybe width and some pace on the wing. Well, Knowles does that. Darling is playing, but should be playing centrally, and then we're missing a right back, so David should be playing anyway. So I think there's probably a good argument to say that, well, on both counts, whether it's purely as an experimental thing or whether it's actually on merit, they should be playing anyway. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And if you're not going to start them, then at least re-evaluate how you use your substitutes, Mr. Coldwood.
What we've been saying also.
Don't wait so late. You know, give people 20, 30 minutes rather than 5 minutes to sort of get some game time and some opportunities.
Like, it's almost like Colin Calderwood doesn't listen to the podcast.
the one that still gives me like sort of like Vietnam War veteran style flashbacks is Salford away when he brought Dallas on. And I think there's probably less than a minute between him entering the pitch and the final whistle going. And
it's horrid.
Ah, no.
Horrible. Does George Maris need to move clubs to rekindle his form? Tom asks.
Yeah, but
he's just not the same player, is he?
I can see that. I think it all goes back to this really unfortunate situation at the start of last season where he had that move all sort of lined up and it didn't quite come about. That's going to be tough for a player to get over, and it just seems to have really knocked him. He's never really found that form again. Alternatively, maybe there's this idea that during that period sort of, well, we're going back to Joe Dunn's sort of interim period now, aren't we?
Second half of that season.
Maybe he was playing a bit above his level, and maybe this is George Maris. And maybe he's just not playing in the right position. Who knows?
There are people I know who didn't see that that part of that second part of the season when Joe Dunn was in charge on an interim basis, so didn't see George Maris in that duration, who don't believe me when I say he was great in that sort of few months. He's just not rediscovered what that formula was to success. So yeah, maybe it's a positional thing. Maybe he's being asked to play a different game. Seems to be playing a lot more deeper. But I think if Carruthers is not going to return to matchday squad, then George Maris, to me, of all the people we have available at the moment, is our best bet to take on that kind of sort of creative role in the centre of midfield, because he can challenge and he can pass, and yeah, we desperately need him to rekindle that form. I think if his contract was up at the end of the year, it's hard to see him finding another league club. He might have to drop into a conference, but I think we've got him for 2 years, haven't we?
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll pick that form back up. Maybe second half of the season he's going to be a revelation. Talking of revelations, of course, Giovanni Brown, shot to fame, coming from non-league to Cambridge and then off to Colchester. All went a little bit south-ish after that. You know, he had a good start, but, you know, missed a bit of a dodgy penalty. And then he's gone on loan to Forest Green. Would you have considered re-signing Giovanni Brown?
Interesting one, isn't it?
He got man of the match yesterday in his Forest Green debut.
Interesting is on to Forest Green, who are also fighting for promotion. I can imagine the uproar if that had been us in that situation, where we'd loaned out maybe not someone who's front and centre of what we're doing, but a player of ours to a rival. So that's a strange move.
We've loaned out an assistant manager to a rival before, so yeah, we put it past us. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very strange. I suppose based on the quality of the player, then yeah, you probably would, but again, it's about where would he play, where would he fit in, and the answer to that is that he'd probably play on the wing, and we know that that's not his best position. So,
and we don't really need the left-sided winger anyway, do we? It's such an odd one, Giovanni Brown. Like, it's such a weird dodging a bullet, wasn't it? Like, there was murmurings that he was a bit of a bad egg, and then stuff's obviously gone on behind the scenes at United, and definitely behind the scenes at Colchester, and it's seen him like not in match day squads and so forth. So
it's kind of strange though with Colchester, because it's not that he wasn't playing at the start of the season. Like, he played against us. Like, he just wasn't playing very well, and like, I've never really obviously, you know, you see it every now and again, but it's quite odd when you see someone going from being so good, which he was with us last season, let's be honest, he was pretty, you know, sort of semi-prolific and very, very creative in a team which finished 21st, to go to Colchester and just not even get a look in. It's very odd.
He did have that tendency for us, though, didn't he, to sort of drift in and out of games. And I guess maybe if you're looking to be a playoff team, you need consistent performers, and perhaps that's why it's not worked out at Colchester. I don't know what position Colchester were trying to play him in. Was it number 10, which seems to be his best position, or was it further wide or up front? But I don't know, maybe, well, perhaps Forest Green feel they can find the right position for him.
Again, though, just to provide a bit of positivity to what's been a pretty negative sort of hour or so, brilliant business by the board.
Yeah.
You know, we've brought a player in, we've got a good couple of years out of him, then we've sold one for big money, and it turns out it's probably not worth that much. So, yeah, fair play.
Cambridge Bear says, should Lamb be taken off the menu? Brings nothing to the team, creates very little and doesn't track back.
I like the question.
Yeah,
I like questions that come in that have a bit of a pun in there.
Yeah, we like that. So I think not. I think not. Even though I slated Reggie Lamb a couple of months ago, I think if we took him out altogether, we'd be even shorter on ideas than we are now. And yeah, for all that his discipline has been poor, there's so much he does bring to a team.
I feel like it. For Reggie Lamb, the film would be The Fall, The Rise, and then The Fall again.
Yeah.
Like, I stuck up for him not that long ago, because he was definitely our most improved player. He performed really well in the 3-5-2 sort of formation. I wouldn't say covered himself in glory. That would be a bit misleading considering the season we've had. But he's definitely sort of stood out as being one of our better performers not that long ago. But the last few weeks he's just gone off the boil again. Obviously the two instances where he got sent off is pretty tragic and pretty undefendable. You know, he's not a youth team player. He's late 20s. He should know better about how to behave on a football pitch when you're on a yellow card. And in both instances, the second yellow came pretty soon after the first yellow. So again, a player of his experience should know better than that. I don't think Reggie Lamb will be here next year, but I also feel like we probably never have played Reggie in his best position. So, yeah, tough to be overly critical on him.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be interesting to see if he is still here, but certainly someone you'd imagine would be there. Although, it brings us quite nicely on to Matt's question. Who would you offer a new contract to out of the out-of-contract list is as follows. Iron, Davis, Taylor, Taft, John, Jones, Norville, Williams, Dunk, O'Neill, Lewis, Lamb, Carruthers and Jabbo. Who would you offer a new contract to?
I'll let Tom lead on this one. However, I will say, if Harrison Dunk doesn't get his testimonial year, I will cry. What a servant to the club he's been, and even the last few weeks, he's still showing that he can cut it in League Two. So, I'd keep Harrison Dunk.
Yeah, just sort of going through the list. Iron, strange one. Given the players that we currently have at the club in his position, i.e., Burton and Mitov, who are both, I guess, a similar profile in terms of young, up and coming sort of, goalkeepers with hopefully potential to play at a high level. You'd probably say again that he's at the back of that list. If we've got sort of limited resource, then you question whether that's necessary to give him another deal. But again, I guess you make a decision. You want two. So which two do you have?
Yeah.
I wonder if
we get to the end of the year and the club reevaluate having both Mitov and Burton, and maybe try and make a pick and push one of the others out. And if they do that, then maybe you'd keep Iron as a backup. But yeah, Tom's right. As it stands at the moment, it's hard to justify having three keepers of a similar age.
I would offer Leon Davies a new contract, definitely.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm not convinced he would take it. I think there might be maybe clubs sniffing around from higher up. We know the sort of potential that he's got. We know the sort of right foot that he's got. Teams maybe higher up could make a use of that in the future. Obviously, there's still question marks about his sort of defensive solidity, should we say, but that will come, I've got absolutely no doubt.
I think he'd even consider dropping down if it means first team football.
Possibly. Greg,
this is a hard one.
It's such a tough
one. This is horrible to say it because it's been such a servant to the club, and obviously
friend of the pod.
It's hard in the current climate to justify him being a starting centre back for us next year.
Yeah,
I think he's not had a great season. It's been a tough year for him. Not always been playing, and when he has, the form's not been great. I think it's a difficult decision, but maybe it's one that's going to have to be made. Taft, obviously, you offer a new deal to him, but again, someone that I don't think will necessarily accept that. He's a player who's doing very well at this level over the last sort of few weeks. He's at a good age now. What is he? Must be 25, 26, 27, sort of around that bracket.
Yeah, 26.
That's pretty much the ideal signing for either a good League Two team or a sort of bottom half League One team, maybe, who you know, potentially would be looking for someone to continue improving. Louis John.
No thanks.
Okay, fair enough. although
I wonder if he'll play.
Yeah,
no,
I was going to kind of caveat that a little bit. He's obviously been out to Sutton again on loan, done very well there. Massive upturn in their form.
I was going to say their form since he's been there.
And like we've said, the defence has been very poor on our side, so maybe it's time to give him his last chance. Dan Jones, nope, see you later.
No.
Jordan Norval-Williams, yes, give him a new deal. Not really seeing enough of him yet, but you know, again, one for the future. Harrison Dunk, absolutely, offer him a new contract. Mm-hmm. Not just for sort of those sentimental reasons that it'd be really sad to see him go, but because he's still a very important player in this team. Has always proved that, you know, no matter how many players we sign ahead of him, no matter how long he has out of the team, he'll always come back in and be an asset. Liam O'Neill, I think it's probably time to go, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's always struggled to kind of consistently get up to that mark, whether it's injuries, whether it's red cards. It's not worked out. It's not been a happy 3 years, I would suggest.
Paul Lewis is another difficult
Paul
one.
Lewis, I don't think Paul Lewis is that difficult. I'd offer him another contract. I think he's got a lot of use on the pitch. Not necessarily the most technically
Is he a starter?
Potentially. I think he's been one of our better players this year. I think he gets a lot of stick, but you know, he's scored goals, he's got assists when he's played.
His stats this season for League Two midfielders are pretty impressive. And I can't remember who ran it, but a team of League Two for the first half of the season, he was in there based on his stats around assists and goals.
Yeah.
The only reason I say it was a hard one is I know he splits opinion. He has sometimes the ability to go missing a little bit in games. Mm. Are we playing him in his right position? You know, does he suit the diamond? Does he suit being a defensive midfielder?
I
always thought he was an attacking midfielder. And
yeah, I think Paul Lewis should be. Obviously, they're very different players, but he should be playing that sort of Luke Berry position where you want him in and around the box, because he's proven that if he is there, he will. Well, look, he might not score 25 goals a season like Berry did, but he will score some goals. And that's pretty good. If he can chip in with like 7 to 10 goals a year and get a few assists, that's good. And you know, he might not be the most technically gifted player that we've ever had, but you know, the functions that he does provide, he does very well. So I'd definitely offer him a new deal. And I'd be fairly confident that if we did that, he would accept it. So definitely want to do. Reggie Lamb. Question marks. I thought for the sort of middle part of this season so far, he was pretty good and quite an important player for us. When he wasn't there, you really missed him. Having said that, more recently, the discipline's been really bad. His head's gone. And you don't need players like that. And I wonder whether with his wage, we could go in and get someone better with maybe a more defined role in the team. So I'd probably say... Thanks for your effort, but see you later. Carruthers.
No. Well, it's impossible to say at the moment.
It's very hard to say. You know, we'll see what this sort of issue off the pitch is that Coldwood's been referring to. We'll see if that can be sorted out anytime soon, further up the line. But we'll see.
Jabo Abere, finally.
Jabo, I think, I don't think we need to say too much there. I think it's probably the end of the road. And someone that has always tried very hard but probably never contributed enough goals to
win.
He's really
also well old.
I think it's hard to see him staying on in full-time football next season. I think he probably knows that himself as well. I wouldn't be surprised if a conference club picks him up and he does an all right job down there.
Again, though, a bit like Deegan, it's a bit of a shame that it's happened in this way, whereas it's very much fizzled out because of injury. I wonder whether he'll play again.
If Barrow get promoted to the Football League, which they're looking like they're kind of, you know,
on the way
to do it.
7-0 yesterday.
Yeah, 7-0 they won yesterday. They're like the 3 points clear with 2 games in hand. He loves the Lake District and he loved it when he lived up there. I could see him just joining Barrow on a pay-as-you-play contract and just living his life in the Lake District.
Oh, you love it, don't you?
Love to see it. Finally, rather aptly to end this absolute bumper episode, thanks for your questions at AbbeyStandPod to send them in. Joe got in touch, who said, who would be in your United team of the decade? I think collaboratively we'll try and come up with this fairly promptly. But starting in between the sticks.
Right, so let's set some ground rules. Are we going 4-4-2? Yeah, we've got to.
Yeah.
And
we're not playing three at the back, are we?
We're not playing three at the back. Left wing back, Reggie Lamb. Are we? What criteria are you thinking? Like, just thinking, in terms of how they were at the level they played at?
I think in terms of contribution at the time.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and you look at the best team of the decade, I think a lot of the legends don't get in there. And you can also look at all the factors, and some people don't get in there for various other reasons. But I think in terms of their contribution in that context.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy with that. So, in between the sticks.
Will Norris.
We're happy with that?
Yep.
Okay. So 4-4-2, right back, Richard Tate.
This is the tricky one. Because if we're going to the context that Tom just said, I guess you would rule out Brad Halliday. But Brad Halliday was
the best one.
Brilliant right back.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Tate was a brilliant right back at the conference level, and even Kev Richards
I'd go Richards.
Yeah, man. What in terms
Kevin
of
Roberts?
Sorry, Roberts. Yeah. My bad.
You're about to go and call him a legend. Isn't
Got Mark Richards on the brain.
Wait until we find one out at Dion Belfast.
Go on to Jordan. Go on.
That's a slow burn. We'll get that in a minute.
Yeah. Let's. Tate or I guess Tate.
I'd go Roberts.
Lord Jordan, what do you think?
Length of service.
Halliday.
Right,
Halliday was brilliant, man.
We're pretty divided on that then. So we can be divided. We don't need to make, but we've offered up the...
Jack, you're the host. You get the final say.
Well, I said Richard Tate, so I'm going to maintain that. Yeah. Just for the episode of I spent with him in Revs, I think.
Because he threw up on your shoe.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take that. Right, centre-backs in that. There's quite a few here.
I think centre-backs are quite tough as well. Yeah, I think there's three that stand out. And I think that's Ian Miller, Josh Coulson and Leon Legg.
Leon Legg was going to be my first option. I think
you can't not have Legg in there. Yeah. But that does mean not having one of the other two, which is very tough.
I think Coulson over Miller from a sentimentality point of view.
That's the thing as well. Coulson scored our first goal back in the league. Yeah. Obviously, Josh Coulson,
one of our own,
was here for the best part of the decade. Obviously, not in the final stages. So I think I would go with Legg because he's been probably... I think you probably argue maybe our best signing since we've been back in the Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Coulson, they'd be my two centre-backs in this team.
Anything else, Jordan?
I was just thinking how done for pace you would be if you actually had Legg and Miller playing together.
We don't need to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
I've got Coulson and Legg written down in mine.
Left back.
For me, Greg Taylor's the only one, really.
Yeah.
I suppose... If you're going right back, you could probably have James Jennings as some sort of arguable choice. But I think if you're going to try and tell me that he's a better choice for this than Greg Taylor, then I would very much disagree with you.
Anything from you, Jordan, that's missed there, really?
Well, it just seems like forever ago that Greg Taylor was left back, doesn't it? Like, he's converted to centre back for the last good few years.
It's been an ongoing problem since that we've not had a good left back for...
Probably we haven't had an established out and out left back probably since Greg was left back.
So
I think I'll probably go with him.
No surprises there. Right, we'll go into midfield. We'll start on the right of midfield.
I think wingers is the easiest answer, isn't it? Right and left, Donaldson and Dunk.
Yeah, I think we're happy with those two. Then into centre mid.
Again, I think it's a pretty simple choice. Yeah. I think it's Champion and Berry.
Any others to throw? I don't think there is really any.
I'd like to hear your case for Gary Deegan.
I mean, this was always going to come to this point, and the man was, his ability as a footballer is limited, but I see a lot of myself in him, the terrier, the angry terrier. I think I just liked the concept of Gary Deegan more than the reality. It made me quite angry watching him. And what an apt, way to go out, kind of fizzled out in very Gary Deegan style. But no, he's got no right to be mentioned in the same sentence as those two. So no, I'm happy with that. And then, just leading the line.
Obviously this isn't why we're picking it, but just in terms of quality, Ledton's the best centre mid we've had this decade, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, we could make quite a good team of the decade of people that were loaned in who have then gone on to do quite well.
McGeehan was pretty decent.
Yeah, exactly.
Max Clark, Lewis Page.
Oh, Max Clark, yeah.
Max Clark Furlong. Recently linked to Liverpool.
Yeah, I know.
Maxwell. Oddly.
Yeah, there's been some absolute...
Jurgen Klopp keeping one of his beady eyes on Max Clark.
Quezzy Appiah.
Yeah, well, he would...
I'd put Quezzy in my team of the decade, I think.
Alongside. So strikers, I had Kwezi, and I would go with Uche.
Interesting.
Uche or Elliot for me.
Okay. I think that's pretty... Yeah, there's not loads of other options. I'm surprised no one went for Cunnington.
I think Cunnington's one of those sort of quite marginal ones. I think he'd probably maybe make a very slim case for Core, but he didn't really play enough. Mm.
Yeah, I think Cunnington is similar to Ian Miller. Like, their impact to that squad and that season is huge, but they didn't, for whatever reason, injury and opportunities and so forth, didn't really get to establish themselves in like a second season and back into the Football League, so it's hard to sort of put them in. I've seen fans talk about Barry Corr being in the team of the decade, and it's ridiculous. He only played half a season for us.
It's the sentimentality thing kicking in again, isn't it? He's like a cult hero. You know, Stats Stevenage game will, you know, immortalise him forevermore, but really, yeah, his contribution was minimal. But yeah, I think we've done quite well there to not disagree on more. And I think, yeah, and I suppose some team of the decade you'd have a manager, but I mean, it's kind of impossible not to pick money, isn't it? I mean, not
yeah,
that...
Yeah, no, it's impossible, yeah.
Yeah, like just the law of averages says you're going to have to pick Richard Money to be there.
Let's be honest, the managers that we've had who weren't Richard Money have been pretty shambolic.
It's been bad.
Ling, Jez, Derry, Dunn, Coldwood.
Yeah, that's a horrible lineup to end what's been a very optimistic pod. Thank you to you lads. Thanks to Jordan Wallen for joining us.
Cheers.
Thank you for Tom Walker.
Thanks so much, mate.
I've been Jack Swindlehurst, and this has been Under the Abbey Stand.